Praise the Lord. Well, if you don't know why we're singing these songs, then you're not going to ever get it. These people, if you really, you know, I've been studying up on these people who are singing these songs. There's not a one of them that has had a happy life. Every one of them has had a lot of sorrow, a lot of grief, a lot of disappointments. But still, they keep writing their songs and they keep singing their songs. Why? So you can see how real God is. And you know, the body of Christ has not yet comprehended that you're going to go through trials and tribulations as you serve the Father, but you should go through your trials and tribulations with joy and peace. If you can't understand this, then you're never going to be able to win the lost to Christ. I watched the body of Christ, I listened to the body of Christ, and I never heard such moaning, groaning, and complaining because they have to go through trials and persecution, and they don't understand why God just doesn't lift that. God isn't going to lift it. He's making you learn to be happy in it. When he says that you can go around this mountain as many times as you want, he's saying, when you learn to rejoice in your trials and tribulations, then this mountain's going to be removed. Somebody said something the other day, and you know, here, but when I first got born again, they were giving this book out, what's it called? Merle Crothers' book, Prison to Praise. And they gave me that book. I said, you got to be kidding. You want me to praise God in this mess that I'm in? Yeah, you know, I did, and it took me a while to learn, a couple months, maybe 3, 4, maybe 5, that God means exactly what he says. You need to praise him in the midst of your trials. He didn't say he wanted you to fuss and moan and groan and complain. He wants you to praise him, that he's allowing you to go through the trials and tribulation that you're going through because he's trying to show you how strong you really are. Now, not everybody will learn to praise the Lord in their trials and tribulations. I have run across quite a few in my years of teaching that said there's no way. There's no way I'm going to praise him for this mess. And there was no way, and they're still in their mess. But if you will learn to praise him, if you could be like these people, I mean, the crab family had terrible, terrible times. And yet they still were out there singing and ministering to other people in the body of Christ. See, it's all about ministering to others. It's not about what you're going through. It's about you ministering to others no matter what you're going through. And if we can't minister to others when we're going through a mess, then we're no good for God. Paul sat in prison all the time. He wrote most of the letters in the New Testament. And all he did was rejoice. All he did was praise. All he did was uplift Jesus. And we're supposed to learn from him. And Jesus himself, you know, he went through a lot. He went his whole time on this earth, he was persecuted. But he didn't moan and groan. He was out there ministering to the people. He was out there telling the Pharisees they were going to go to hell if they didn't straighten up. You know, he called them brood of vipers and everything else. But he still continued to minister the gospel. And even though he knew what his end fate was, he still went to the cross. And he didn't complain about it while he was going either. Body of Christ, we need to lighten up here. And we need to learn to praise God no matter what we're going through. You know, in saying that, I watched that video I sent to you where the minister saying that it's all right if you get tattooed. I'm sorry, that's not true. And they're going to get a tattoo just to prove it's that you're just a bunch of religious people if you don't say tattoos are okay. You have to stop and think of why people get tattoos. It's not for anything godly. Now, if you have a tattoo, I'm not going to condemn you for it. I'm just saying that is never what God wanted you to do. But now here's a big, well-known minister who's telling everybody it's okay to have a tattoo. In fact, I'm right on the verge of getting one myself to prove to you that I'm not religious. We're going to have to be very watchful of what we're doing, saints. You know, get into your word. Get into your word and see what the word of God says about all that stuff for yourself. Don't take somebody else. I don't care if you're a well-known minister, what you are. You know, you are not indestructible. You can make mistakes. But I'm believing that the body of Christ is going to get it together. And we're not going to be making these mistakes we've been making. And we're going to be able to not only lead the people to the cross, but we're going to be able to keep them at the cross. There's too many people being led to the cross and they don't stay there. Why? Because the body of Christ doesn't stay there. It's, you know, as you watch watch these people sing, you watch people in the background, they're crying and they're just really, you know, they're into, they know what God has done for them. I don't think the body of Christ knows what Jesus did for them. You know, I don't see the body of Christ sitting weeping and, you know, praising while people are singing. You just don't. And I can even feel, and from my back, I can feel people saying, oh, Lord. You know, you don't understand what God really did for you, so you can't praise. Whenever you can understand what God did for you, then you'll be able to praise in the midst of your circumstances. Tonight, what I'm going to do is I'm going to just, you know, there's a couple of things I ran across and read. And in the last couple of days, and we're just going to go over them because this is where God is at. And I really want to admonish each one of you sitting in here or even listening to my voice. You watch your walk. You are not guaranteed that heavenly throne room. And right now, some of you are going, some of God's people are really going off course really bad. And they need to get back on course real soon. And Sister Astor, today, as I was studying, I kept thinking about you, and don't grow weary, because what God has spoken to you, He's really going to bring to pass. All right? And God's told me that you are doing everything you know to do everything He's telling you to do, and your time is coming. So just know that you're right where God wants you to be. All right? So too many people are discouraged right now, because God hasn't moved on your life the way you wanted Him to. Well, let's get into this because I'm getting ahead of myself. All right, I forgot who wrote this. I think I have it at the end. But anyhow, a dream of generations gathering, stadiums filled. I had a dream a while back that I was standing in this large platform in an amazingly packed stadium, and standing with me on either side were Lou Engle and Billy Graham. Now, they had this dream before Billy Graham passed, okay? I could see angels dancing in the heavenlies over the stadium as the sound of a younger worship team released a prophetic sound exalting the name of Jesus. This sound caused darkness to tremble and flee. We have a younger generation right now that's out there with songs that are just out of sight, and the older people are condemning them. And you know that you're not condemning them, you're condemning Christ. God knows what He's doing. He is raising up these younger people. The masses began to respond to the sound of the music. They came forward, falling on their knees, faces down, being saved for the first time. I saw on one side of the stage, off to the left, people coming out of wheelchairs, people rejoicing who had been blind but now could see, and the deaf who could now hear the symphonic sound of a generation hungry for the Lord. These people out there in darkness, they want something. They're looking for something, and that something is Jesus Christ. And the church has failed them so desperately. We need to be an example of who Christ really is. And we need to be able to accept these people as Christ gives them to us. The stadium was like Camp Randall in Madison, Wisconsin, one that would seat nearly 100,000. Now, you know, before I ran across this, I was looking at some pictures of where Billy Graham preached, and it was just a sea of faces as far as you could see. All right, so they say that since he passed, now God has passed his mantle on to other people. So if that's the case, you will see things like this. You will see auditoriums, and God gave me a vision 15 years ago of we'd be preaching to auditoriums full of people. And they would be drastically saved, and there'd be signs, wonders, and miracles going on. So this is what we're getting ready to go into right now. I believe the intergenerational unity in this dream is key for this next move of the Spirit. Lou Engle, he's a prayer and prophetic intercession, and he's a spiritual Air Force. Then you have Billy Graham, he evangelism general. And then you have Stephen Springer, that's who wrote this article. He has a healing prophetic apostolic ministry and younger worship teams of late teens and 20-somethings. So this is what we have going on. Abraham, Isaac, Israel, and the sons of Israel, a joining of the generations to see the greatest move of Holy Spirit the world has ever experienced. So you have Abraham, Isaac, Israel, and the sons of Israel, you know, the younger, and it is a joining of the generations to see the greatest move of Holy Spirit the world has ever experienced. We're about ready to see something that it'll just going to blow our minds is what God's. I've read some of my prophetic words, and that's what he's been telling me over the last couple of years. It's going to really blow my mind at what we're going to see. Even though I think I'm prepared for what we're going to go into, he says I'm not. So if I'm not, you aren't either, right? We just think we are. A season for stadium Christianity is at hand, and it will be the joining of the generations to usher in the greatest harvest of sons and daughters. The prayer and passionate burning of the generations is preparing the way for evangelism and great signs, wonders, and miracles. Whole cities will be impacted by the power of the gospel on earth as in heaven. Whole cities are going to be impacted. 1 Corinthians 14:25, for the intimate secrets of his heart will be brought to light. He will be mystified and fall face down in worship and say, God is truly among you. A new student missions in Third Great Awakening. A new student missions movement is being birthed from the haystacks of harvest at campuses all across the earth. God is going to fund the movement. And what has God said? He's going to fund the movements that we're going into. Luke 10:2, then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And we've been doing that. Now, an awakening sound and in an awakening wind that will blow, uprooting mindsets, corruption, and religion. The church needs her mindsets uprooted. I mean, your mind, you know, the church has a mind that's so stagnant that God can't get through to it. I'm sorry, guys, you know what? What we're seeing out there is what's going to be sitting in the church. And what we see out there, raised in hell for the devil, is going to be sitting in the church praising God just even stronger than what they were doing out there for the devil. Their tattoos, their piercings, and everything else. They're going to be in the house of God. They're going to be praising the Father. You're listening. So you can just get your high and mighty attitude all calmed down. And you can just start accepting people as they truly are. And you know, and I said that's why God had me marry Larry, because it introduced me into what we're going into. And I had a mindset, if you got a tattoo, you're going to go straight to hell. All right? And if you were in perversion, you definitely were already in hell before you ever died. And God had to change all those attitudes and all those mindsets so he could use me to do what I'm doing today. So whatever God has placed you into or around, God is trying to change your mindset and get you ready for what he's going to use you to do. Are you listening here? So quit being so hypocritical and get your religious balloon busted and just get in the spirit and let God do what he needs to do in your life. All right, it is going to get windy between now and Pentecost in May. There are a lot of people saying a lot of things are going to happen at the end of April. Shaking will happen as creation is groaning for the true sons and daughters of the kingdom to come forth. It's a seismic year. It's like a volcanic year. Now, I've been seeking God's face about this wind and everything else, and he hasn't spoken to me yet about it, but that doesn't mean it isn't true, because you know these prophets are hearing it. But if you really are concerned about what God is saying through the prophets, then you need to go before the Father yourself, and you need to hear what God is saying to you. All right, the ancient gates are open and the King of Glory is entering in. He is raising up a remnant that will possess the gates to cities and nations. The ecclesia has to possess the gates as they are being opened, or the enemy will. The church must possess these gates. The church must go through these gates. The church has to be out there ministering to the lost and the dying. Are you listening, church? You said, well, like God told me today, the church is sitting in their comfortable chairs long enough. And he's, it's time you get out there and do warfare and win those souls. We need wisdom, war plans, and wealth. I was just telling Brother Aaron, I really don't know what God is doing at this given time, how he really wants me to teach at this given time. I really don't know what he wants me to do, period. So I'm seeking his face because I need wisdom. And if you all have it all together, praise God. You don't need to seek God for wisdom then. But right now, there's things going on in the atmosphere, and things around about you are changing drastically. And I just think it's wonderful if you have it all together. If you know every step that's going to be taken, you know. But if not, you need to seek God's face and seek wisdom and see what he wants to do. I was telling Brother Aaron, I said, you know, God has spoken some daily words to me where we need to have the love for the people. Okay, so he's called me to preach repentance. Now, see, I need to have wisdom how I teach repentance and keep the love going, flowing, and not make people go into condemnation. You see what I'm saying? So I had to be very careful that the Spirit of God's constantly speaking through me, so that when people are to come in who are bound up, even though the word is saying repent, like Jesus preached repentance right from the get-go. John the Baptist preached repentance right from the get-go. I've been preaching repentance, but still know God wants the love to flow also. This is where our shoe thing comes in. If the shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't, don't worry about it. And if it does fit, well, then take it to the Father and ask him, all right, this is what's going on with me. Help me get cleaned up. All right? Psalm 24, 7 and 8 says, so wake up, you living gateways. Lift up your heads, you ageless doors of destiny. Welcome the King of Glory, for he is about to come through you. You ask, who is this King, Glory King, the Lord, armed and ready for battle? Well, all right, the question is, you ask, who is this Glory King? The answer is, the Lord, armed and ready for battle, the Mighty One, invisible in every way. It's God, and he's coming as God, and he's going to come with all of his power and all of his might. Are you ready to receive God as God? This is what you have to ask yourself. I was telling Aaron right before the service, because he's asked about the song service, and I said, you know, I'm having a hard time studying. When I type, I make so many errors, I think I'm going to quit. Because I never did that before. And, you know, and I keep seeking God's face. What do you want me to teach the people? And I'm not getting answers like I used to. So here's what I believe is going to happen. I believe the glory of God's going to fall in here. And all we're going to have is signs, wonders, and miracles. And that's it. I really do believe that's what's going to happen. I was told years ago when I first got born again that I had a Catherine Kuhlman anointing. And if you look at Catherine Kuhlman's ministry, she just walked into a building and she didn't do anything. God just moved and she just called the people up and said, what did God do to you? That was all she had to do, was be there. Hold a meeting. Do you understand this? So, you know, that's what I'm saying. You have to know exactly what God is calling you to do. And if you're walking like I am, not quite sure what he wants you to do, just keep seeking his face. Don't get upset about things. He will let you know what's going on in your life and exactly where he wants to take you. All right, and an apostolic pathway that once was will now be, thrusting people forth into their destiny, into their domain of influence. Let's read that again. You guys, listen to this. An apostolic pathway that once was will now be, and it will be thrusting people forth into their destiny and into their domain of influence. Unity and oneness of the Spirit. We have entered into a new era that will require the body of Christ to function together at a greater level of unity and oneness. You're listening. Within the Holy Spirit, which will release the greater glory that Jesus spoke of in John 14:12. Let's read that again. We have entered into a new era that will require the body of Christ to function together at a greater level of unity and oneness within the Holy Spirit, which will release a greater glory that Jesus spoke of in John 14:12. And John 14:12 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. It is time, Body of Christ, we walk in total and complete unity. It's time we quit trying to be bigger and better than somebody else. It's time that we learn to just flow with our anointing, then flow and help everybody else flow with their anointing. And we're all good. Now, if you have a whole stadium full of people, Billy Graham preached the sermon. Who do you think ministered to all these people? And the body of Christ was in unity, in one mind and one accord. And they ministered to these people, and people's lives got saved and changed. So you're no longer just going to come into a building and sit like little fat ducks. And, you know, go back home, you're going to be put to work by God. You're going to have to start doing some work somewhere along the line. All right, it is a command blessing that wants to come. But only happens when the called out ones, the sons and daughters of Ecclesiastes, will dwell together as one. We need each other like never before. Church, we need each other like never before. You know, when I'm putting together song service, when I write down ministry of the shofars, sometimes God will give me what he wants, and I put that down on there, not very often, but every now and then, and Elaine picks up, and she just goes and does what God told me that we should be doing. See, we're in unity. We work in one mind and one accord. She isn't saying, well, who does she think she is? I don't think I'm anybody. And, you know, and I don't even ask God what he wants me to, if he wants me to say anything. He just says it, and I just put it down. Are you? And we just flow together. And I felt the peace tonight when they blew the shofars. I felt the peace come over me. See, if we would just learn to flow with everybody's anointing and let God just use whoever he wants, this will work out fine. You're not in control of anything. God's always in control. You're just the vessel that God is using to work through. All right? If people would just understand that too. Well, they need to line up with what I say. Get out of here. No, they don't. You have to line up with what the Holy Spirit's saying, and you have to allow the Holy Spirit to move. I read somewhere where it might be in these papers, I don't know, where it, you know, God's just going to use people in the audiences to start ministering to people, you know? So what are you going to do, you who want to be the leader? And God wants it starts using them. He doesn't even ask your permission. He just starts using them. All right. I lost my place. Mark 3:24-25. If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. A church can't stand if it's divided. It just can't. I believe the 45,000 different denominations will become one in the spirit. I didn't know there was that many. It will be a reversal of the last 500 years. Get ready for commanded blessings to fall on the Ecclesiastes. And Psalm 133 verse 1 says, a song of ascents of David. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. See that? It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. If we just learn to work in unity, one mind and one accord, it won't be about, well, I've got a stronger anointing. It'll just be, God, you move any way you want. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, well, I'll come to church. My daughter can really sing a little thing, and I want you to put her up there and let her sing. You know, I can tap dance too. No, I can't. I mean, see, that's not working together in unity. If God wants somebody to sing, he's going to just let me know he wants them to sing. Or he could just stand them up and they could start singing. And if it's not God, I'll let you go through the singing, then let you sit down and tell you afterwards. Amen? That's happened too. People just think that, you know, I'm going to do it. Well, it's going to come to that, saints, but whenever you do it, it's going to be because it's totally and completely in the spirit, and your flesh is not going to be seen anywhere. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. The intergenerational unity is key for this next move of the Spirit. God has said he's going to use the very young, 2-3 year olds. He's going to use the very young, and this older people, we're going to be there to help guide them in the right path and keep them from going stupid on God. And you know, and we're all going to work together in one mind and one accord and in total unity. So you can't be an older person and say, who do you think you are, you little whippersnapper? You know, I've been in this longer than you have. And you know what I found out when I became, I've always gone to church, but when I became born again and God started putting me out as an evangelist on the field and I was going to these churches, I said, God, these churches have been in business for a long time. They know more than I do. He said, you'd be surprised what they don't know. And so when I go in there and you know, I was just like, God, use me. I was surprised what they didn't know. And they've been having their churches for a long time. So what I'm saying to you guys in here, when God sent you somewhere, you just go. Because God knows what you have in you and that he knows what they need. And he will send you to those that you can feed. He can use you to feed. All right? I can't feed everybody and you can't feed everybody, but God knows who can. All right, a fresh rain and the Father's loving embrace. There is a great fruitful harvest that is coming and a tremendous move of the Spirit like the spring rains in Proverbs 16:15. In the light of the king's face is life. And his favor is like a cloud of the latter rain. There is coming an outpouring of God's presence, favor, and power unto the multitude being saved. It is time to sharpen the sickle and mend the nets. Then he goes on to say, I had a vision of the Father with his arms open wide, and he was calling home his sons from afar and his daughters from the ends of the earth. He was receiving them all, even ones the church had written off. Do you know how many people are surprised Larry's in heaven? How about that little blew the little religious minds, you know? The Father is bringing in some of the least likely, look at this, the Father is bringing in some of the least likely people of incredible influence and key leaders from their spheres of society. I'm also really sensing the New Age followers have a bullseye on them in this season of harvest. God's going to get the New Age people. During this vision, I could feel the energy and excitement of heaven and earth for the season of restoring relationship and the multitudes coming home to the Father's arms. At one point, I saw the Father look at Jesus with a huge smile, and he said, this is your reward, son. And you know, he's going to do the very same thing to you and I who have been laboring and laboring and laboring and laboring. And we're going to, you know, and he's going to show us the fruits of our labor, and we're going to be sending our smile, and he'll say, this is your reward. The soul that made heaven their home, or whatever it is. All right. Places of his presence in the upper rooms. There are upper rooms erupting all across the earth. These rooms are creating thin places where the atmosphere is like heaven on earth, where the Holy Spirit is going to break in and break out. And God said he has told me just the other day, he has brought heaven down to earth now. And you know, and he said, tell me there's going to be great, wonderful things happening. And this person here, when they had their vision, says there are upper rooms erupting all across the earth. And these rooms are creating thin places where the atmosphere is like heaven on earth, where the Holy Spirit is going to break in and break out. We have entered a time where the bowls of intercession are being poured out because what goes up must come down. If you're an intercessor and you have not been doing your job, you're in trouble with God right now. You are not supposed to be feeling sorry for yourself, boohooing and carrying on. You're supposed to be seeking God's face and doing intercession like he tells you to. It seems like every time I start interceding for a person, I see them. I've been interceding for Mary for about a month now. She popped up here tonight. I know now that when God lays somebody in my heart, they're going to pop up. Because God, well, if you're an intercessor, God will lay somebody on your heart. And you just have to pray for them. You can't quit. You know, because God wants, there's something in their life that they need covered. They're not being covered properly. So he'll, if you're a true intercessor, he'll lay them on your heart, and because he knows he can trust you. So intercessors, if you're an intercessor, you be on your toes, because God's going to be putting names, you know, give you names, and you're going to have to be praying for them because they're in trouble. You know, the enemy's really trying to take them out, and you're supposed to be covering them. And you're not supposed to worry about what's going on in your life. You're supposed to be covering them. All right, I said, we have entered a time where the bowls of intercession are being poured out because what goes up must come down. The fruit that will come forth is nations being saved in a moment. See that? As you intercede for the lost souls. The Father is inviting us into a fresh encounter with perfect love that apprehends and destroys the spirit of fear. I really believe with all my being fear he is a liar. That song came at this time for a very good purpose. It totally blows my mind at the amount of people that walk in fear that say that they have given their heart to Jesus Christ, but they're so fearful. And that is a perfect song. I mean, it's a perfect song, and I love it. And I know that God brought it forth at this given time to get us out of fear. God is pouring himself out. The sweet honey presence and perfect love will become a contagious, consuming revival fire that is releasing the third great awakening. They've been talking about this third great awakening, I know, for a good 20 years now. Have they not? Well, it's upon us right now. It will heal and restore the land and turn people back to God. Get ready to embrace the winds of change and run into the fire. I also have a word for those who feel they are locked in a season of blockage and unfulfilled promises, awakening of vision. The Lord is releasing a mighty move on your behalf to hasten his word and promises in your life to perform them. This move of God requires total love and commitment to your calling. Okay, so this is where God started talking to me. So when I said, I also have a word for those who feel they are locked in a season of blockage and unfulfilled promises, that's what God spoke to me. So from then on is what he said. So he said, we must be a people of divine agape love if we are going to keep the harvest. You have to love everybody. There is a soundtrack playing in the minds of my people, and it keeps playing over and over again. This is causing my people to be stuck in one position and they can't seem to go forward. I'm going to rewind the soundtrack and it will have the sound of heaven on it, and many will come forth at this given time, and many will do great and mighty exploits for my kingdom. Right now, many are going to come forth. Not a year from now, not a month from now, but right now. If this is you here tonight and you keep getting the same prophecy over and over again, God is getting ready to show up and move you forward. Some of you have felt like God has passed you by, and that is not so. God had to clean you up and remove the debris that was keeping you bound up. Many of you will start seeing movement in your lives that you thought would never happen. But God is on the move, and he has aligned you up with his promises, and now is glory/work time for his kingdom. You see this? You're getting, that's what, you know, Astrid, you just really hang in there because you're getting ready. Some of you have purpose in your heart that I am finished with you, but that is not so. I am now ready to send you forth to conquer on all sides. See, you just about blew it. You just about gave it up just as God was getting ready to do something. Some of you have been sitting on the sidelines simply because that is where you have placed yourself, because of doubt and unbelief, and even anger at me at times. The anger that you have aimed at me is wasted energy. I am not moved by your anger. And I had to laugh when he said that. Look around, because I had somebody in my house, if they want, you know, they want your attention, to get very angry. I thought, that doesn't move me. I just want you out of my sight when you do that. Amen. I don't want to listen to anything you have to say. All right, God said, look around about you. Look at the gross darkness that is covering the land. Can't you see that total devastation has already come upon this land? The signs of the times are all around you, and this great harvest of souls must take place right now. There is no more time to ponder this issue. Take a stand with me and go forward and slay the giants in the land. Have the mindset of David. And you know, this was all spoken by God in 1 Samuel 17:26. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And see, God said to me, his daughter, who is this uncircumcised Philistine from hell that's trying to destroy my children? You know, because he said, have the mindset of David. So then I looked up this scripture and put it in here. Then 1 Samuel 17:36 of the New King James says, your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. So then I looked up in the Message Bible, and it says, Master, said David, don't give up hope. I'm ready to go and fight this Philistine. And really what God is saying to us, don't give up hope. He's going to fight your Philistines in your life. He just wants you to go forth ready to do his work, and he will send an angelic host, and they will fight your battles for you. And then verse 33, Saul answered David, you can't go and fight this Philistine. You're too young and inexperienced, and he's been at this fighting business since before you were born. Don't worry about how long you've been saved. When I first started the church, I had this lady say, I've only been saved 1 year, then I've only been saved 2 years, I've only been saved 3 years. I said, how many years do you have to be saved to get it together? You know? Come on. So Saul answered David, you can't go and fight this Philistine. You're too young. You're never too young and inexperienced in Christ, because it's not you doing it. It's the Holy Spirit working through you. And he's been at this fighting business since before you were born. David said, I've been a shepherd tending sheep for my father. Whenever a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I'd go after it, knock it down, and rescue the lamb. If it turned on me, I'd grab it by the throat, wring its neck, and kill it. This is what we need to be doing to the enemy. Amen. He wasn't afraid of the enemy. Lion or bear, it made no difference, David said. I killed it. And I'll do the same to this Philistine pig who is taunting the troops of God alive. God, who delivered me from the teeth of the lion and the claws of the bear, will deliver me from this Philistine. Paul says, go and God help you. You know, what God is saying there is, go and I'll be with you. Quit worrying about, I'm not ready yet. I still have something else to read. Quit. Quit worrying about what the enemy's going to do to you. That's why you don't do nothing. You're too worried about, oh, poor me, what's going to happen to me? Well, you're poor you, probably nothing's going to happen to you, because God will put you in a box somewhere and make you good and secure so the enemy can't touch you. Come on. When you go out on the front line, guys, I hate to tell you this, but you get shot at. If you don't want to be shot at, then go and dig a foxhole and stay in there. But when you go to battle, you get shot at. You by people. And they don't care where they hit you at either. They don't care what they hit you with. All right, now, what's his name that there? Bill Yout. This came in right before, after I had everything else done. So I'm going to read this. A vision of the receding tide. I saw the Spirit of the Lord as a great ocean beginning to recede off an enormous shoreline. This was a season in time when the tide was beginning to go out. The body of Christ was standing in the water, practically immersed in the tide. But as it gradually started to go out, we slowly became exposed, as though we could no longer be covered by the water. It seemed like that we stood spiritually naked as the tide was still going out. As the tide went out from the shoreline, many chains and bondages could be seen holding God's people. This was hindering and stopping them from following the Spirit, which was gradually going out from them, leaving them helpless and powerless, as though the Spirit was exposing their sin and weakness, and yet at the same time departing from them. Others were able to go further on after his Spirit, but the tide seemed to pick up a faster pace, and there was a great cry as the tide rapidly went out. Even the very elect... What does God say about the very elect? And the righteous began to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? How many of the elect in here tonight has said that to God? Why have you forsaken me? How many of you have felt like God has totally abandoned you, and you're standing there all by yourself, and God's never going to move in your life? He's not going to use you any longer. Come on, be honest. As the body of Christ stood still with exhaustion and weariness and great discouragement, the ground beneath turned into dry land where there was no water, just like a desert. How many of us felt like we've been dried up? Amen? The church could only see the tide going out a long way off. It could no longer experience the move of the Spirit. You know, he had this vision, but it's already happened in this church. On the contrary, what was left was their sins, bondages, and helplessness. God's been cleaning us up. As the church was exposed and stood as though naked, a great mocking cry was heard from those who were back on the shore, who had never touched the water. This represented the world, and they were seeing the shame and sin, and God was being reproached. Isn't that what God's been doing to clean the churches up, hadn't he? And the world's out there laughing their heads off at the church. The time frame this was happening in seemed like forever to God's people, as though they were separated from God and nothing appeared to be happening except for failure. The tide is turning, wave after wave. Many turned from looking towards the tide going out, and after a while they began to walk back towards the shore from where they came. They just gave up and were tired of waiting and waiting, convinced that God had forsaken them by all appearances. But a remnant, you're a remnant, right? Stayed and stood still, waiting upon the Lord, confessing their sins, repenting and interceding for all the world, realizing it is not by might nor by power, but only by the Spirit of the living God. And that's what you all been doing in here, haven't you? Staying still and repenting, right? Then it seemed that the earth stood still. The waters going out even stopped, and a strange calmness came. Then the Lord spoke, "The tide is beginning to turn. The tide is beginning to turn. And the tide is on its way back in. This is a tsunami of my glory that my earth has been waiting for." It was wave after wave after wave. These waves were bringing in the lost. I mean the lost lost. These waves were bringing the lost up and out of the lowest places of the earth. It seemed as though the sea was giving up her dead. There were pornographic stars, mass murderers, witches, many from occult and Eastern religions, souls that had committed horrendous, indescribable crimes. See that? What God's bringing in? The powers of hell were letting go of them. These last waves had the power to bring up the very bottom of the ocean. Isn't that awesome? So it's hope for you, right? Come on. As these waves kept coming in, the waves of salvation began covering more and more the shore as it came back upon the earth. Like a flood, the Spirit was coming in, lifting his standard upon the earth itself, and multitudes were being saved as the waves of salvation continued to literally cover the earth. As these waves increased in magnitude and became humongous tidal waves, the Lord said, "Truly, as I live, all the earth should be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord," excuse me, "like the waters that cover the sea." That's Habakkuk 2:14. Come on, church. It is a glory time. It's singing hallelujah time. It's time to understand, like that one song, "God saw something in me could be saved," however it was sung. You know, church, I get disgusted with the church. You act like a bunch of little kids that want a bottle. And daddy's not giving you the bottle. We need to grow up. We should have been grown up. And we need to come forth and forget about what's going on in our life. And just go ahead and do the works that the Father is calling us to do. Just plain and simple. Just quit it. Just quit it. You know, I did this song service, and I put for the first song, just sit and listen to it. But then Sister Nancy found words to it. So then I said, okay, well, we won't sit and listen. We'll sing it. And then Sister Grace wrote and said, should we dance to it? And I tried six times to send her an email, said, yes, dance to it. And they wouldn't go through. And then I just forgot about it. And I come here, so they didn't dance to it. And I said, oh, I forgot to keep trying to send the email. I don't know why, I just wouldn't go through. So was she offended? I don't know. I don't care anymore. She wasn't. But what I'm saying, I don't worry about that. I used to worry about those things. Oh, I don't want to offend anybody, you know. And I pat them on the back. I'm really sorry if I didn't do what I should have done. Those days are over. I love everybody. Don't you love everybody? But we have to be grown up enough. The diapers have been thrown away. The bottle's been thrown away. Steaks are on the table. And God has given us marching orders. We should have our weapons of warfare in our hands. And we should be going out there and doing the things that God has called us forth to do. Yes and amen. Come on, each one of you come in here tonight. God directed you here tonight. You think, oh, well, I decided to go. No, you didn't. The Holy Spirit led you because he wanted you to hear this. He wants you to know that he wants you to be grown up because he's getting ready to send you out to do the great and mighty works he's called you forth to do. Now, if he sends you out and you go out there and stumble and fall, that's your fault, not his. Because when he sends you, he always goes with you and he always equips you. All right? So don't ever say, well, God just didn't do it right. No, if God is sending you, he's equipped you. Whenever he sent me, still, I said, God, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to run a church. He said, the Holy Spirit will teach you. And the Holy Spirit taught me everything I know. Men and women couldn't teach me nothing. I say to them, what's going on in my life? They say, I don't know. Just sit down and shut up. I mean, preacher after preacher told me that. Just sit down and shut up. Well, God didn't want me sitting down and shutting up. He wanted to use me, but other people didn't understand. And they weren't seeking God's face. They weren't I don't hold it against them. It just taught me a lesson. Always seek God's face. Always be flown in the Spirit of God, and you won't make a mistake. Are you listening here? Intercessors, if you don't get off your duff, God's going to just pass you by. Souls out there are depending on your praying. Our Tuesday night prayer meeting has to come alive. And it can't be redundant. It has to be as a Spirit leads. Are you listening? We have a job to do. I guess I didn't write it. But anyhow, I read today where God is setting up houses of refuge. How many years has God told me to put that sign up out there? 2007, God told me to put that sign up. When I said, what do I want to do that for? I went and did it. We made the sign. And now I understand why we're a house of refuge. In this end time harvest, God's going to send souls into us. Now, are you ready to minister to the souls if he sends them into your house or wherever your house that you live in or your house of church where you go? Are you ready to minister to these souls? You should be. You've been sitting under the teaching and anointing long enough now. It's time now you let everything that you've been, storing up inside, it's time you just let God just go, boop, hit you on the back and make it active and send you forth. Are you ready? God's asking you, are you ready tonight? Are you ready? I don't know about you, but I'm more than ready. I don't know how many years ago I told God, I said, God, you're going to have to move because the teaching of the word is not making it. People's lives are not changing. It's going to take a move of your spirit. And I don't know how long, many years ago, he told me the glory was coming. And, and we've just had to stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord. We had to stand still and let God take years and years, take his perfect timing. Now is his perfect timing. I'm telling you, don't miss this move of God. Be ready instant, in season and out of season. Be ready for God to just all of a sudden go and then go. Don't sit still. Go. Whatever he's telling you to go and do, go and do it. And if it's God telling you to do it, it's going to work out. It's going to work out. There's so many things right now that God has in the fire. So many things, and so many lives are going to change for the better if you're listening to the voice of God and you're following him and doing what you should be doing for him. Are you one of those? Are you one of those? I'm so glad that I am who I am. And that God has promised me that I'm going to go into rapture. I'm not going to die. And I'm so glad he's promised me that he's going to use me in this end time harvest. He told me that years ago, 20 years ago. I'm so glad that I am who I am. I know that God is going to do great and mighty things. He's already given me vision after vision 20 years ago. Vision after vision, what's going to be happening. And now the visions are starting all over again. So I know that God's getting ready to move. Are you all ready to move whenever he strikes you? Come on. If you don't know what God wants you to do, then go back and read your prophetic words. It's in there what he wants you to do. Do it. And do it with all your might. I know some of you keep saying, is this the time? Is this the time? And God says, not the time yet. They're not quite ready yet. So if I don't answer your email and you say, is this the time? No, it's not the time yet. I don't hold anybody back. I really don't, because I know I was held back a lot. And God would move me, so I would be able to be put forward. My job is to train you and to send you out. And my job is not to chain you to a chair. He told me from day one, this door will always be a swinging door. It's always been a swinging door. You have to have your core you work with, but people come and go. Because some can be taught and others can. Some leave because they've been taught what they need to know, and then God starts their churches or whatever. Others leave because they just can't quite yield to what God's calling them forth to do. They can't get the sin out of their life. What about you? What is God telling you to do? I'm hearing God say this is a very integral time in your life. You have to be listening to the voice of God, and you have to be obeying the voice of God instantly. All right? And he's saying again, be instant, in season and out of season. And, I'm so glad that God does with me what he does. Because, when I'm talking, I never know if it's me talking or God talking. Because he just takes me over and he just starts saying, and I'll say, now that was God. You know, I have to make sure they know it was God. And just like when I was typing this up, all of a sudden God just started talking and told me that I put it at the end. This is what God wants you to be like. He wants you to be that you don't know if it's you talking or God talking. You'll know it's God because you know the anointing. You just know it's God. But he just wants to be able to take you over at any given second. Your mouth shuts and his starts. See, my prayer is because I couldn't do nothing if I didn't have the anointing flowing, and that's the truth. My prayer always is, God, you take over when I get up there, because I have nothing to give you. I honestly don't. But God has a kingdom of heaven to give you. And each one of you should feel the same way. I personally have nothing to give the people, but the God flowing through me, the Holy Spirit flowing through me, if I give him full permission, can do a multitude of miracles. Just because all I am is a vessel. So are you a vessel that's willing and able to go forth and do the things God wants you to do? If you are, come on up here, because God's going to give you a kingdom anointing where whenever he taps you on the shoulder, you're going to know it's him tapping, and then you're going to listen. And God said when he does it, there's going to be a violent upheaval in your life. Things around about you will start changing automatically. You won't change nothing, but he will change things around you. Your whole life is going to take on a whole new meaning and perspective. This is a really wonderful time of your life tonight. Everything about you is going to change after tonight. As you yield to God and let him do the things that he wants you to do. Come on. Come on. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God. And he's trying to get your attention. He wants you to do the things, the greater works that Jesus talks about. Excuse me. The greater works. Come on. See, the songs we sang tonight, if you really would have listened to them, they would have ministered to you. They would have told you, you know, what God is doing for you and how much he loves you. Sometimes we just need to shut up and listen. Instead of just seeing how loud you can sing or how good you can sing, you just need to be quiet and just go ahead and just listen to what God's saying through somebody else singing. God wants you, each one of you, to digest what you heard tonight and digest it well. Don't throw it back up again. But keep it deep down inside of you, all right? Because he's going to be doing great and wonderful things in your life.